Come together, the Neutral Zone, with your hosts, Bird Gang representative Casual E and Sean McConnell from Casual Sports, me, Jay Adams, and NFL vet Ed Smith from Easy Sports Talk. Buckle up for 60 minutes of NFL football previews and pick'ems. Hold tight as we preview this week's games with in-depth analysis and opinion and a flavor all our own. Bragging rights are on the line with the Neutral Zone Pick'em Trophy up for grabs. It's the Neutral Zone. Lace them up.
It is the Neutral Zone. I am your host, Javon J. Love Adams, and as always with me is the one and only Casual E. Earl Burnett.
What's up?
Sean McConnell, and the man that is not with us right now, but he'll join because he's the one that gets all the press, all the press and stuff. Everybody wants to talk to him and stuff. Is the one and only Ed Easy Smith. He's the only one of us that actually got, you know, blindside blocked and all that type of stuff. We just talk about the game. That dude, if you see him walk, when he got that pimp walk, man, and something like that. That's how we do it. But anyway, this is our version of the football pick'em show. We do this every week. This is our first week this year, but that's, you know, it's because we adults and we adulted and doing what we do.
Can you believe it's season four?
It is, man. Wow. We about to, you know, I'm about to act a fool up in here, man. Up in here.
More than usual.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes as we round into form. And so we keep track of the games that we pick each week. And I want to say, so before we get into it, I will say this. Every show, so we break it down into four segments. So we're doing something a little bit different because from the mind of the one and only Casual E, said, Jam, we got to switch it up because, you know, we just got to keep doing this. We got to just try to appeal to the youth. That's what we're doing out here. But so the second segment of every show is dedicated to the Arizona Cardinals because at our core, we are an Arizona Cardinals show. But again, we keep track of the score here. So as I look here, you know, I won. I got to say this. I won last year.
Did you, though?
Yeah, me and my son.
It ain't supposed to be me and my son. It's supposed to be Javon Adams.
So I'll make all the picks this season. So I will.
Yeah, all right.
So right now, Sean McConnell is in first place with an 18-14 record. He is one in front of me, so I am at 17-15. We got Ed Smith at 15-16, and we have Casual E rounding out the good Lord, man, 12-10. you forgetting the pick stuff?
Well, yeah, I sure did. Half the day thing was gone. I was like, oh, damn, I can at least get the afternoon when so I start picking.
I like how Tuesday, Earl, you said, I think someone forgot to make the pick. That someone was you.
Yeah, someone was you.
I thought I did it ahead of time the first week before week one. I thought it was done already, but oh well.
Come on, man.
Oh, no. So let's start it off. Let's begin in earnest with our segment one. Chargers at Chiefs. And now this is interesting to me for no other reason than the new anointed golden child is Herbert. So of course, you know, that's one of the things that we're focusing on here. And then, of course, because we, for some reason, people don't believe that the Kansas City Chiefs can ever lose. And then when they lose, it's all about what's going on with the Kansas City Chiefs. Both teams coming in 1-1. The Chargers will be visiting the Kansas City Chiefs at Arrowhead Stadium. At GEHA Field at Arrowhead Stadium. So let me be specific about that. Yes, indeed. So last week, the Chiefs fell to the Baltimore Ravens, a very competitive game. And so I wanted to start off with this because, again, with the different types of expectations that are out there, what are your thoughts on this one? We'll start with you first, Casual E.
Well, so a lot of, when we do these seasons, a lot of this stuff is going to be repetitive because, I mean, okay, it is what it is. I mean, these two teams get together, and no matter what they look like the Chiefs are this dominant team, but Chargers always play them tough, and they play them to the end. So, and now you got the Chiefs coming in. The offense doesn't look all that fiery as it used to look. You know, right now they're sitting in the ninth place in offense, and Chargers are in fifth. So, I don't know. I'm like, this is going to be one of those shootout-type games because neither one of those – I mean, at least we know the Chargers got a little bit of defense. I don't know what Kansas City's defense is going to be looking like the rest of this season. But I'm going with the upset because – oh, you can play that upset alert. I forgot to give you that little insight. But, yeah, I'm going with –
Where's a little heads up there?
Yeah, my bad. I'm going with the Chargers. I'm going to go with the Chargers for this. I ain't got – first of all, I ain't got nothing to lose but to lose. And then second of all – I kind of like Herbert, what Herbert's doing in that offense. And I love the Chargers defense against that Kansas City offense.
Okay, Sean, what you got?
To me, I'm gonna stay home on this one. I think that Kansas City gets it done and rights their wrongs early. At Baltimore again, that was a tough game. They almost had that game. Let's be honest. If Chiefs are 2-0, we're talking this is an easy Chiefs win. That's just how this thing goes in the NFL. It's a week to week basis. Yeah, the Chargers put up more yards, but they've always been putting up yards on everybody. That's kind of the Chargers' MO. They put up yards and they don't put up points. That's kind of their thing. So to me, I think it's Chiefs all the way. I know their defense is allowing a lot right now, but that's something that they're just looking to correct over time. The Chiefs, they're just going to run with the AFC. That's just what I feel this year. But I'm going to go Chiefs on this one.
And then for me, I think I'll go Chiefs as well. Yeah, I do think that for as much as we going into this, coming into this season, one of the things that the Chiefs were able to try to address and correct was the offensive line. We know that there were some issues with that. And I think their defense, you know, with not, last week notwithstanding, I think they've acquitted themselves quite well so far. So we'll see how that goes. But so
cool. They got a whole new offensive line, huh? Every last guy, right?
Every last guy. That's how they do it. Sometimes you got to turn them over like that. Sometimes you got to turn them over like that. So let's get on to the next game. Buccaneers at Rams. So the Buccaneers are 2-0 and the Rams are 2-0. And apparently the Rams have this, I wanted to get your thoughts before, of course, we break down the game. But when we think about Matthew Stafford, I heard somebody say that, actually it was Bomani Jones, I heard him say that Matthew Stafford is the least criticized number one pick of all time because he's always given the benefit of the doubt. It's not his fault that he threw the interception. It's because the defense is bad. It's not his fault that he threw the interception because, you know, the quarterback gave up the blah, blah, blah. Yeah. It's always something. There's the benefit of the doubt that he's given. But so both teams coming in 2-0, we know that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are the defending Super Bowl champions, but they're going to go into Southern California with it going to SoFi Stadium. The Buccaneers are favored, and now that you know they're in the state of Arizona, we can put a little bit of dollars and coins and cents on these games. We might give you some of these overs and unders and some of the spreads and things like that. But the Buccaneers are favored by 1.5. So let's get into this. We'll start with you, Sean. What you got on this one?
Yeah, this has to be the hardest game to pick on the whole schedule this week. I was staring at it. I'm like, usually, you guys know how I do these. It's quick gut check picks. This one, it maybe have like the sweats, man. I'm thinking, oh man, if I mess this one up, this might mess up the whole week. I'll start with saying this: Antonio Brown and Kevin Minter, former Cardinal, are both out for this game, so that's kind of a bummer. I don't think playing at the Rams is as much of like a home field worry because it's LA. I don't think anyone actually, you know. It's LA. I'll just leave it at that. Yes, Jay knows what I'm talking about. So for me, I'm going to go with the defending champs on this. I think just because of the pedigree, I think because of Brady. Brady, whenever he gets put up next to another quarterback in any matchup, he shows up big time usually. So this is going to be a great game. It may not be a high scoring game. It might just be a great hard fought game.
Right.
I'm going to just say that the experience wins here, even though the Rams have pretty much everything until Stafford came along. I'm going to go with the Buccaneers because they have like long tooth experience. Long experience.
What you got, Casual E?
Well, if you're part of the Bird Gang or anything dealing with the Cardinals or you're a fan, you're definitely going to be going for the Bucs in this game. But
hell yeah.
But when you look at this game, I got everybody saying this is going to be a shootout because of those two offenses. This is going to be a defensive game, in my opinion, because both of those teams got pretty good defenses. They're not going to allow those teams just to run up and down the field on each other, especially in the running game. So, I mean, I'm looking at one of those 20-17 type of games. And hopefully, you know, as because I'm, you know, I got to cover our team here. I got to go for the Bucks. I mean, that's how you got to do it. Keep our team running in that NFC West. Straight up.
For some for some of those people that listen, especially my partner Ed Smith and I, we do a couple of things together. One is our radio show on Saturdays from 10 to 12 called Easy Sports Talk. We also do Believe in the Arizona Cardinals, and it's not always that we believe in the Arizona Cardinals. So I believe in this case in the Los Angeles Rams. I think that the Rams will come out victorious in this one. As you mentioned, Earl, I think that it will be more of a defensive kind of battle, and so I'm curious to see how that plays out. I think that some of the shine will be taken off of Matthew Stafford.
Let me get in on that. Matthew Stafford, you're right, and the what's going around about him is kind of a little bit like he gets this like you were saying, nobody really pays attention to what's really going on. I look at him and I go, okay, he never really did get the benefit of the doubt. I mean, he was on a team that never had defense, a team that never had running backs. He always had one wide receiver, and that was it. And then everybody was expecting him to just win games in Detroit. I mean, I give him the benefit of the doubt. Now you put him on another team, just like Ryan Tannehill, looks exactly the same thing. Ryan Tannehill from Miami straight onto a new team with better coaching and better everything, and he looks like a different player. Now this Stafford is going to take this team because he has a team around him. I think that's why everybody's pushing him up on the pedestal right now. But
I guess we shall soon see. So let's move into the next game, the Packers at the 49ers. It is the Sunday night game. So the Packers are coming in at 1-1, the San Francisco 49ers at 2-0. And of course, if you are a fan of the Arizona Cardinals, you definitely want the 49ers to come up short in this one. But it's interesting because I mentioned this last week on the radio show, is that if the Packers lose and Aaron Rodgers comes in and says, "Hey, everybody, it's all good. Don't worry about it. Why are you so relaxed? Why are you so calm? You're not intense enough." If they win and he says, "Hey, everybody, we won," he has the right amount of intensity when it comes to this team, and he knows how to make sure that he's guiding his team in the right direction. Yeah. When we look at this one, the 49ers are actually favored -3.5, and I think if we're looking at this, they're, because the Packers are going to San Francisco or Santa Clara, more specifically, that typically the home team gets that 3 points, so it's almost like a push of sorts. Mm-hmm. But your thoughts on this one? It's interesting because we know the 49ers, there's that quarterback that's looming, that rookie quarterback that's looming waiting in the rafters. We know Jimmy Garoppolo so far 39-55 with 503 yards, 2 touchdown passes, and Aaron Rodgers 37-55 for 388 yards and 4 touchdown passes. We know that Aaron Jones has been doing some good things there. 22 rushes, 76 yards, and a touchdown in terms of on the ground. So your thoughts on this one? We'll start with you again, Sean. What do you think of this one?
Yeah, you know, Earl and I talked about contenders, pretenders on Tuesday. And to me, the Niners are 100% pretenders. And I've said that for the past 3 years, pretty much ever since Jimmy G came along. I thought they were pretenders.
Right.
2 touchdown passes in 2 games passing for Jimmy G, that sounds like a pretender to me. I don't know how you get to 2-0 and you throw for 2 touchdowns. Whatever, 503 yards is nice. It sounds a lot like the Chargers. Sounds a lot like the Chargers putting up yards but no touchdowns. So to me, the Packers get right here, and I think they humble the Niners a little bit. I know the yardage right now doesn't look right, doesn't feel right, but that's how you get there, is by correcting those things. I think the Packers do that on the road. Aaron Rodgers is just a different dude. He's built differently. He's weird like that. I mean, he's just weird. Right, so I'm gonna go with weird on the road. I think weird's gonna win.
Oh, man.
Let's go weird.
Okay,
I love how the media goes up and down. One week it's, oh, Aaron Rodgers, they look bad. Next week, oh, they're back. Let's just be honest. That's not the same team over there, that Green Bay team, to me. The opponent makes the difference. They played the freaking Lions, everybody. Calm down. Now you're about to see them go back to that week one Packers team that can't move the ball against a good defense. Watch it.
Interesting.
Watch it. The defense that the 49ers put on the field will give Aaron Rodgers fits. They have been doing it every time they play each other. As a matter of fact, Shanahan, I believe, has beaten the Packers every time he's played them. I mean, LaFleur. Yeah, he's beaten LaFleur and the Packers every time he's played them. So it gives them a hard time. I'm going to see Aaron Rodgers struggle again because that's what they did against a good defense in week one.
Interesting. So I will say that I picked the Packers. I think it's close. If you look at in terms of when we make our pick'ems on ESPN, we see that it's pretty close. It's almost right down the middle. When it's 51% that have picked the Packers and 49% that have picked the 49ers, so it's right down the middle for the most part. So it's going to be interesting to see how that shapes up. And then let's go to the Panthers and the Texans. And it's the game that's going on right now. And then you're saying, Jay, why would you put that in there? It's interesting because for one, the Texans are 1-1, and who knows if they'll ever be 500 again for the rest of the season because they won their first game against the Jacksonville Jaguars. We'll get into the plight of the Jacksonville Jaguars in the next segment. But the Carolina Panthers are coming in at 2-0. They have Sam Darnold, who looks like that with the kid from what's the movie? You know the movie I'm talking about. It's I forget the movie, but he looks like the kid with the big head from that movie. It'll come to me, and I'll mention in the middle of a segment. But so the Panthers and Texans, the Panthers are in Texas, and they are trailing right now as we are in the fourth quarter, rounding out this game. How did you gentlemen see this game playing out? Casual E, how did you see this one playing out?
That's a big key word you said, see it play out. I didn't see it because I didn't watch it. So just by looking at that matchup alone, I knew what was going to happen in that game. I mean, Houston has no offense at all. I mean, they counting on a rookie quarterback to come in there and handle that defense. I mean, it was no way. So I already knew.
And the aforementioned Tyrod Taylor just.
Oh, my God. Dude cannot catch a break for nothing.
He just catches them. He catches them at the most inopportune time. Yeah, so indeed.
Yeah. So I went with Carolina, of course. I'm pretty sure everybody else did too.
Sean, what'd you have?
Yeah, I had to go with Carolina. Another team that is on my pretenders board, but they're playing lousy competition, so I won't be able to expose them yet. I'll have to wait another week, maybe two. Even though we have two defeated teams playing each other this week, this game is my garbage game of the week because it's also nationally televised.
I know, exactly.
You couldn't have found something else. You couldn't have done anything else. There's not even an award show going on we have to put
Let's
up with.
Let's just
this
be honest.
We have to watch.
That schedule was made thinking that Watson was out there, so...
Yes.
Let's just go. Let's look at it that way.
And this isn't that type of show where we're giving opinions on that type of stuff. So we'll save that for other shows. So I had the Carolina Panthers, not only for our pick 'em, but because you can bet in Arizona now. And so that's why I had the Panthers. So that takes us to the end of the first segment. And we're going to get into the next segment will be the Cardinals at the Jaguars. And we're going to be doing something a little bit different. So when we get to the end of that segment, we're going to be doing a little bit of playing a game of kind of almost over and under with various aspects of the game coming up this week. And so just to get your thoughts on that. So just keep that in mind, gentlemen, as we go through this. So we're at the end of the first segment. I think this is where we like take some type of commercial break. Ain't that right? You know what I'm saying? We're on this course.
We kind of on that course, but sometimes
girls got to do a live
sometimes
read.
Our audio. Hey, there you go. There you go. Live read for all your paint services in the Valley of the Arizona. Go to Customer First Solutions, where you get all of this one stop spot for everything you need for your home care needs, interior, exterior painting, handyman services as well. Lowest cost in the valley. Give them a call at 480-877-0255. Customer First Solutions. You the customer, always come first.
You are in the neutral zone. Again, I am your host, Javon J. Love Adams, and as always with me is Sean McConnell and Casual E. Earl Burnett, the last member of our team. Our squad that is missing. He is doing a he's doing his press requirements in terms of for different interviews and stuff. That's Ed Easy Smith. So this is a part of the show where we dedicate to the Arizona Cardinals because at our core and at our heart we are an Arizona Cardinals show. Now, interesting coming into this game. I know I was watching this game as the gentlemen that are on this this show with me were doing the same, and I just knew that that game was going to end in a loss. I had actually picked the Arizona Cardinals. The Cardinals are coming in here 2-0, and you're saying, well, why are you saying that, Jay? Because if you watched it and if you were a part of the Minnesota Vikings broadcast team, you thought that it was good too. Because if you heard the audio, yeah, when it went up, it said, it's good. Oh, it's how did he miss it? And so the Vikings come up short. They miss a chip shot. Chip shot for, I can say that because I'm not the one making the kick. But long story short, the Arizona Cardinals are 2-0. They're going to Jacksonville to face the Jacksonville Jaguars, who are 0-2. And this is one of those games, man. I heard Kyler Murray talking about this or answering a question about it. Is this a trap game? I don't know, man. This is one of those things where you go in and the expectations are so high for you to win the game, it becomes one of those things where you got to win the game. Your thoughts, we'll start with you, Sean, again. Your thoughts on how the game against the Vikings played out and how you think the game against the Jacksonville Jaguars will play out.
Yeah, I was blessed and fortunate enough to be at that game. And I say that obviously tongue-in-cheek because every game I go to, it feels like it's a heart attack. And the only thing that was a blessing was because we were playing the Vikings, who tend to do that to themselves frequently. And coming from a Cardinals fan, it's ironic because, you know, cardiac cards. But, it was kind of perplexing to me to see that we rolled out a defensive game plan that didn't work like it did against Tennessee. Earl and I got into it on Tuesday about different receivers, yes, but the run game, what happened? Where was the answer there? Because they found a way to figure out whatever we did against Henry in week one. It definitely threw me off. The offense, I felt, played a little better in this game. Definitely a lot cleaner, a lot less penalties. Kyler was doing things that were great. Still throwing off his back foot, which still gives me a heart attack. But, the fantasy resurgence of Rondell Moore has come, ladies and gentlemen. If he's not on your roster for fantasy football, get him now.
I did that before the season.
He's on my team on JB's fantasy league, so I'm just putting that out there. But, this Jacksonville game, to me, it feels like a trap game. I know Kyler may not believe in a trap game, but just because you don't believe in it doesn't mean it's not true. This is something that the Cardinals have to put up a lot of points fast and in a hurry, because you don't want to give a team like this any type of life, any type of hope, anything to build off of, because it's a young team, a building team, and you want to shut them down quick. And I think they can. They just have to play a smart game plan, play smart with the ball, and they'll get it done.
Now, I want to, before going to you, Casual E, Sean, you mentioned in terms of the kind of the defensive game plan, but isn't there some kudos to be given to the defense, because in the second half they only gave up 10 points, whereas they kind of put themselves in a little bit of a hole in the first, especially the first quarter. Would you give any credit to the defense for being able to make some of those adjustments?
Yeah, there was definitely adjustments there, and Cook getting a little banged up, I think, helped that situation, which, I mean, it's part of the game, but you have to, I think, get a little bit better preparing for a team like that, because
stop the defense from going right up the offense from going right up the middle.
Yeah, that would be a great game plan. I'm just saying it would be a great game plan. And obviously, I think they fixed that in the second half, but then we had the Thielen issue, and all of a sudden, like, we fixed it. The cartoons where you got the dam breaking, you poke one hole, and you poke the other hole, you got the toe going in the hole. And that's what it felt like a lot last year. This game. So I'm glad that we fixed it, but this Jacksonville game should be a game where you don't even have to think about a game plan. It should just be go out and play.
You never apologize for how you win a game, first of all, talking about that Minnesota game. But I kind of figured the way that game played out. I mean, coming into that game, I was kind of like it was a coin toss for me, because I saw two good offenses that anything could happen. And I knew those receivers would get loose on us. I just knew it. The thing that what got to me in that game, and I said this to Sean on Tuesday night, Cliff Kingsbury is getting better at play calling, but when the game gets close, you see him get nervous at play calling. And that's what the difference was. We should have lost that game because of his bad play calling going down the stretch. That's what should have happened, but we got lucky. That's how that game played out to me, because we should have ran that ball out, ran the clock out with the last 2:40-something left. We got Kyler going back to throw, and then he runs out of bounds. I mean, that's not Cliff's fault, but calling a pass play, that is your fault. You should be running, get under center, hand the ball off to Connor, let him grind the yards out like you did last week. So that's kind of where I was at with that game. But we got lucky. Hey, they got their snake bitten team, so they always get that missed field goal. So I was looking forward to seeing us attack Patrick Peterson a little bit more, and we didn't. I thought we would go after him a lot in that game, but they didn't. But that game is what it is. But going forward, this Jacksonville game, you can't come in with a shaky, scared coach to call plays. I'm telling you, because that's going to be the difference. You're going to go out there knowing you're supposed to beat the brakes off of them, but then you're going to start, what's going to work? You start to panic, and then the snowball starts to happen, and all the things start going bad for you. Then next thing you know, you're in a three-point game with a team that ain't supposed to be on the field with you. So I'm going to agree with my man on here, Joel. Joel said just relax, go out there, and just play the game and let it come to you. And that's exactly what they have to do. Just play the game, and they should beat the brakes off this team by halftime.
Now, I will ask you this, it may be a little bit of kind of looking back and trying to find some of the issues with Kyler Murray, but the first couple of weeks, he's had a couple of really bad decisions when it comes to some interceptions. Is that an aberration, or is that something that should be that there's some concern about? Because they won, they ended up with their 2-0, so you don't apologize for being 2-0.
No.
But I just wonder what some of the there were a couple of those interceptions where it was, I see it and you see it, you shouldn't throw that ball. Is that concerning to you? And I'll start with you, Casual E.
No, it's not actually, because I love what Kyler is not afraid to sling that thing, and you got to have a guy that's confident. You don't want him to be gun shy, and so. And then if you're going to have him throwing the ball 36 freaking times a game, well, you got to expect some bad to come out of it too. So, I mean, Every quarterback is not going to make the perfect read and the perfect game every game. You're going to have some mistakes. The defense is getting paid too. So, but you would rather have his good than his bad, because he makes more good than bad now. And so it's not so much – I mean, can he make that crucial pick to kill you in a game? That's the key, where I looked at that game last week against the Vikings, where he got the momentum snatched from us because we had all the momentum coming out in the half, and he throws the pick six, and that's – bam, that's the type of play you don't want. But, man, the plays he makes – you just kind of live with the good and the bad with this kid, because it's like, let him go, let him roll, man. Just let him sling that thing. Don't get in his head anymore. Let him go.
What do you think, Sean?
Yeah, the process, the change that I'm seeing this year with Kyler is that, right, he's got three picks in two games, right? It doesn't sound great when I say that, but the difference is you see the body language change this year. He's not hanging his head as much to me.
Exactly.
To me, he's just kind of like, yeah, I forced that one. All right, I got hit in the head, and that guy was double coverage, and it would have been through had I not been hit in the head, like as he said as much. So to me, I think you take the good with the bad. I still want to see better mechanics of him not throwing off his back foot. Yeah, it's flashy. It's like a jump pass. It's one of those like, oh, that's just Kyler's thing. But I still, just put your foot down and get really into it, because then it would have got there faster. Right. But are just those things that you're going to have to live with. I mean, Carson was a guy, when we had him, who would – frequently force the ball into a window, throw a pick, shake it off like it was no big deal, and do the same play and get it to go the next time. And that's just kind of how some guys are. I'd rather have that than the guy that we're playing this Sunday who has five interceptions and doesn't know where to throw the ball or what's happening or what day it is or what shampoo he used in his hair. Nothing. So I'll take it. I'm okay with it right now. We'll see if it costs us more games late, but I'll take it.
I'll take it as well, because you can also put this into account as well. He knows the offense good now, to the point where he can call and check out of plays, to where now it's not Cliff telling him in the headset what to do, or he's trying to figure it out. He knows what he's doing, because he called out of that play and checked to the AJ Green, and they scored the touchdown. So he knows this offense. He knows it in and out. So my man Todd says that he might be still too little. He didn't see them. He can't see the picks. You can't tell me he couldn't see them where he was throwing the ball.
A big jumbotron.
I'm just going to let it go right here.
No, he'll just look at the jumbotron.
He's fast enough to get into the ball into the windows, and I love how he's just letting it go. I would love to see him get the footwork a little bit more, as far as stepping up into the pocket a lot more, because he can avoid a lot of those, like you're saying, Sean, off the back foot, and then you're in a bad situation. But he made some plays off that back foot, so you got, like you said, good and bad.
So let's end with this before we get into this interesting new part of the segment with the kind of the overs and unders. Going from 5-0, Chandler Jones. Week one, it was pay this man his money. Week two, are we trying to take some money off that man's plate? Or I know that there's adjustment. There are adjustments that go in because now people, as Ed, if Ed was here, he would say now they're game planning for you. They have something on film. They have something on tape to be able to try to counteract what you do. But is that just one of those things where you just say, so be it? At least we came out with the victory. Or is this something that may be a concern? Because we know last season, before he was injured, he went going up to that injury, he had no sacks going up to that injury. And because people were playing him a little bit differently and there were some things that he had to do to try to adjust, and he didn't necessarily make those adjustments before that season ending injury came. Is it much ado about nothing, or is it something to at least keep on the radar? We'll start with you, Sean.
Yeah, you got to show him the money, just like Todd saying, you show him the money. Look, last year's sack leader, Hassan Reddick, who's now in the Panthers, had 12 and a half. And that's like close to some of the most we've seen in Cardinal in a long time in Cardinal play. Chandler got 5 in one game, and it's game one. It's not like Hassan did it against the Giants. It was towards the end of the season, right? So, to me, this is something you pay Chandler Jones. I don't know if the Vikings just did a great job on him, if they were doubling him. I didn't look at the tape too deep. I was telling Earl on Tuesday, Chandler will get that production again if teams really fear JJ's ability to get to the quarterback. Right. And so far, he hasn't been able to. He's gotten close. He's gotten pressures. He's around. He's more doing run stoppage. If JJ gets to the quarterback a couple times, those double teams are going to come right off, and Chandler's going to be running with one man on him free. Obviously, he was going up against an injured Taylor Lewan, and he ate frequently. He was at the buffet when it was week one. So I say you pay the man. This is a guy that I think needs to retire a Cardinal. We'll see. I don't know. I don't think you take money away from it because the production is shaky. It's going to depend on who he's going up against. The Vikings obviously have an offensive line built for run, built for quick passes. So it's not like it was easy. It's not like he's like Kirk Cousins is a bomb it down the field kind of guy, though he did a couple times. A lot of his passes, we call him Captain Checkdown for a reason. It's 3 seconds and out. I mean, that's hard for anyone to get to a quarterback at that. So exactly. I say pay the man.
Casual E?
I'm going to be on point right on with Sean when he says pay the man. I mean, you have to pay the man. I mean, come on. You know his production. You know what he's going to – Chandler Jones is one of the guys that I've seen get paid and still put up production. A lot of guys get paid and they chill like, I got my money. This dude is going to ball out for you regardless. So go ahead and pay. You saw him do it already. You paid him one time and he put the production out there for you. But one thing we got to be careful with is looking at one game – and saying he should be doing this. I mean, okay, circumstances and matchups make the whole thing go the way it's going to go. Taylor Lewan and the Titans was coming in on a bad leg, and Chandler took advantage of that dude. I mean, just ate him alive. Now Minnesota's line come in being embarrassed the week before. They got some pride to play for, so they're going to try to double this dude and try to, you know, stand up on him. He had 5-something in that game. It wasn't 5 sacks, but he had 5 pressures that made a difference in that game. Sometimes it's not always about getting the sack. If you can get pressure on a quarterback and cause a pick or cause a turnover just from the pressure alone, that's part of his production. You can't always put everything based on the sacks. Just like in basketball, everybody based everything on the points. He didn't score enough points. There's other things he does on that field that people benefit from him being on the field, like a double team, let's say, you know, other guys get to the quarterback. I mean, so I think they need to pay him, and they should have done it last week. They should have done it. They should have done it at halftime and brought him in the locker room, filled his pockets full of money, let him go back out there, let it all on the field like he was doing.
You're a fool. So let's get to it. So I got the Cardinals. I got the Cardinals winning by at least 14. What do you got, Casual? Who you got in this game?
Man, I want this game over by halftime. I want them to go 3 straight drives, 3 touchdowns, 21-0, game over, and we'll win this thing about 35, 38 to about 7.
Woo!
It has to be. You're playing a rookie freaking quarterback. If you come in and let this rookie
and a coach on the sidelines, that even if he's up 7-0, and you lose a yard on a gain, he's going to act like it's the end of the world.
You haven't went to KSRN.com, AZ.com, the article is up there about this exact same thing. The Cardinals don't do so good against rookie quarterbacks for some reason. Yeah, that Landry Jones burned us. Last year, Tua burned us. Like, what do we? We just don't get up and put these dudes where they belong. They got to go in and show this dude he's a rookie and show him up.
And Sean, who you got winning this one?
Well, I'm going to take the team that's scoring 36 points a game versus the team that's scoring 17 points a game and 75 and a half yards rushing a game. I'm going to go Cardinals. I'm going to go big. I'm going to say game's over by the end of the first quarter.
All right. That's what I'm talking about. There we
go. I like that. So I'm going to throw some, in the interest of time, I'm going to throw some of these over-unders out. Let's start with this one. Kyler Murray touchdowns over under 2.5. What you got, Casual E?
Definitely over.
And Sean?
Said K1, how many touchdowns?
2.5, over, under.
I want to say over, rushing included?
Any touchdown. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
Good.
Could be any touchdown. So it's got to be way over.
Okay.
I guess that should have been specified for sure.
Okay. So sacks on Trevor Lawrence, 1.5, over, under. We'll start with you, Sean.
I'm going to say over. I say we get 2.
Okay, what you got, E?
I'm agree with that. JJ's going to get on the board with his sacks, so I'm agree with that over for sure.
Now, when we get to halftime, will we be biting our nails or not? So the lead for the Cardinals, over under 7 points. So we'll go with you again, Sean.
Yeah, that lead's going to be way over 7 points by half.
Okay. Better be, yes, over.
Okay. So let's go with the point differential. In terms of when at the end of the game, will the Cardinals win by more than 7 points? Over under, will go with you, Casual E?
Yes, they should win this game by 4 touchdowns. They should.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. What you got, Sean?
I'm gonna say, over. I'm not gonna say 4 touchdowns over. I'm gonna say over though.
All right. Let's go with this one. So I think this is an interesting one. Does Kyler Murray throw a pick in this game? Yes or no? I say yes. But what you got on this one, Sean?
Ooh. Yeah, he throws a pick in this game. He's thrown 3-2. So, I mean, the money is on yes. I would say yes.
If he keeps the gunslinger mentality, yes, he should throw one. Yes.
Okay, now this gentleman that you, I think it was Casual E, you were the one that kind of pointed this out on the Believe in the Arizona Cardinals podcast. You mentioned this gentleman, Rondale Moore. Will he catch 4 or more passes? Will he have 4 more receptions? I say over on that one. What do you got, Sean?
I'm going to say no. Because that giant touchdown at halftime, the Jacksonville Jaguars are game planning for that. So they're going to try to eliminate him. But what they don't understand is when you do that, then we're just going to go to Hopkins and Green that much more. So I'm going to say no. He'll probably end up with a solid 3 and like maybe 50 yards. But I'm just going to say no.
I'm going to go over because, yes, even though they are planning for the deep ball, he's going to get most of his balls on that quick screen. So he's going to catch at least 4 or 5 of those in the game. So you got to give him that because that's what Cliff Kingsbury does. I'm
not cheating, but yeah, that's fine.
That's what Cliff Kingsbury, that's how he play calls. It's throw it 1 yard and let's see if he can run it. So he's going to get at least,
the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was just about to say. He's going to get at least 2 of those passes going to be behind the line of scrimmage.
You're cheating like Jay making picks last year.
hey, Cliff Kingsbury is what he is, bro. You know that. Screen happy when it comes to receivers.
So this one, and then we go on to the segment 3. Will Kyler Murray have 120 yards rushing? Kyler Murray over or under? I say under. What do you got on that one, Casual E?
Rushing yards for Kyler Murray, 120? Yep. Oh, yep. No, I'm gonna go under because the passing game is gonna be going so crazy, right? And in that aspect, he's not gonna have to run that much. I don't think they can get a pass rush on him.
Okay. What you got, Sean?
I'm going to say under. I don't think that Cliff wants to have him run that much. I don't think he's going to need to. I think we're going to go more with Connor and Edmonds and maybe even more. combined for
there'll be 120 yes
of running the clock out at the point of what the second half's going to look like, and then there's going to be running the clock, and K1 won't have to run.
There we go. All right, so we have come to the end of segment number two, so we're about to go into segment number three. So do we have a wonderful commercial break?
No, we go straight into segment three.
All right, so let's go. There we go. So make sure you check out Believe in the Arizona Cardinals. Go to Believe.com or just search Believe in the Arizona Cardinals. That's B-L-E-A-V in the Arizona Cardinals. So let's go. That's segment three. So Dolphins at Raiders, because why not? Because it's the Raiders, man. So Dolphins at Raiders. So the Raiders are 2-0. I definitely say that they're pretenders. Why? Because John Gruden is the coach, and I'm a Raider fan. Miami Dolphins 1-1, and we know that Tua is not going to play. I believe it's because of a rib injury, and so Jacoby Brissett will end up quarterbacking for this team. It's interesting. I know that David Carr is going to be he has ankle issues that he's dealing with, so it's going to be interesting there. So how do you see this one playing out? What you got, Casual E?
Well, first of all, David Carr sitting in a studio.
Brother's the one.
I'm just joking. Ankle issues.
Look, let me tell you something about the Raiders. You can't call that team a pretender when they come out and beat the Ravens and turn around and beat Pittsburgh the next week. You can't call that a pretender. You can't. Yeah. And then you also can't call them a pretender when they're the number one offense in the league after 3-2.
Recent history.
They're the number one offense right now in the league. They're balanced in passing. They're balanced in running. They can do, and they have a killer unstoppable tight end. So I don't think that's a pretender when you can run the ball and control clock the way they do. So, and their defense is a little bit better than it was last year. So let's not be so quick to just be down on the Raiders. They are a good team, man. I'm telling you, they are a really good team. I like them in this game, of course, because of who Miami's missing. But even when Miami had two, they still would have lost this game. Raiders gonna throw the ball all over the yard against them.
All right. So what you got, Sean?
Yeah, when you have a quarterback tight end connection that's just below what the Chiefs have with Mahomes and Kelsey, that's a winning combination to me in the way that the NFL is played today. So top that off with no Tua, there's nothing you can do. I'm going to say Raiders are going to win big. Sorry, I had to do it. Raiders are going to win big, I think.
One quick point. Yeah. My man Joel here says he made a good point. They do good, but when is the Las Vegas rainbow burst? That is their usual way of doing things. They start out good,
that's what I said,
and then they start to fade. But the difference is they usually start with a cupcake they beat up on and they get good. They're beating good teams early. That's different.
About John Gruden's ability or willingness to adjust, because I think what we learn about the good coaches is that when they reach that bye week, for example, they do a lot of self-assessment. So what are our tendencies? What do people think that we can do?
Right.
And John Gruden is the type of guy to say, I don't care what our tendencies are. We're going to still run that Spider 2Y banana,
baby.
Yes, sir. So let's move on to the Dallas Cowboys. And
Jay, you're a weird type of fan, man. You don't. You're a Laker fan, a Raider fan, but you don't cheer for them dudes, man. You be like, whatever. They just go.
I cheer. But
I guess we won.
Yeah, I guess. We got LeBron. So what?
He a fool. That's
what is it? Real quick, so I don't want to derail us too much, but it's funny because we've won a championship with LeBron, and then obviously AD brought us a championship. They brought us a championship together. And so I remember sitting talking to my sons, and I said, you know, I'm just so mad because we let all this youth go and all that stuff. And my oldest son said, Dad, wait a minute. So you telling me you want Brandon Ingram instead of a championship? Is that what you're telling me? You want Julius Randle just because they're homegrown instead of winning a championship?
And a little bit.
And I said, I think Judge Judy is on, so I think I'm going to watch it. So the Eagles at the Cowboys. It is the Monday night matchup. Both teams coming in 1-1. If nothing else, we know that NFC East, whether it is extremely competitive or extremely lackluster, it's always going to come down to the final week of the season. So I don't know what to make of the of mm-hmm. either one of these teams, because we know that what am I thinking of? It's one of those things. Dak Prescott, he's gonna be able to put up numbers when it comes to yards and all those things. You know, he has CeeDee Lamb that he can throw it to. We know that Jalen Hurts, so far, 3 touchdowns, 454 yards so far on the season, and he's rushing at, you know, a decent clip with 144 yards so far this season on the ground. Who do you think comes out on top of this one? We'll start with you, Casual E.
This is just your typical NFC East game. You just flip a coin and say, well, who's going to win? Who cares? Because it's just, that's what they're going to do. You saw that Giants and Washington football team game. All they do is just beat each other up and just, you know, it gets all mangled up. And it's whoever, you know, the cartoons when there's a big fight with the dogs and this big old white cloud, and something pops out. Whoever pops out is going to be the one to win. I mean, I like the Eagles in this game because they seem a little bit more battle-tested to me than the Cowboys. Cowboys are kind of like that. You don't know what you're going to get from week to week. So I'm going with the Eagles.
Sean?
Yeah, I'm going to shout out to Ed Smith, who's not here today. If he was, he would have said, this is a classic NFC East garbage game. You take the home team because you just don't know. So I'm taking the home team in this one. I'm taking Dallas. I like what Hurts is doing, but I don't know if they're going to be able to keep running him and having him pass as much. He's not built the same. I don't think it's going to work. So I go Cowboys here, but I think every team in the NFC East is going to end up tied this year.
Right. Damn. Somebody got to win the division.
They're all going to be tied. They're going to be point differential. That's how they're going to break the tie.
Okay. Oh, goodness. Now we're going to the Washington football team heading to Buffalo, playing the Buffalo Bills. Both teams coming in at 1-1. One of the things that jumps out to me, if we look at both teams in terms of takeaway differential, both at 0, so they're even there on the matchup there. But when we look at the defense, one of the things that when you think about the way in which Washington has built their team, a lot of it is based upon defense, and they're not necessarily ranked as low as high, depending on they're 24th and 23rd respectively when it comes to defensive rushing, with defensive passing yards and defensive rushing yards per game. And so, yeah, so it's interesting how that plays out. And conversely, when you look at Buffalo, when it comes to defensive passing yards per game, they're 2nd. And then defensive rushing yards a game, they are 7th. So this is one of those things where I personally would kind of lean more towards Buffalo. But your thoughts on this one, especially because they have a more established quarterback when it comes down to it. But again, you just want, on the outside looking in, you want to look at Washington and say, because of what you think that their defense can be. What do you think on this one, Sean?
Yeah, in this one, I'm going Buffalo. Easy, solid coasting win for them. They're allowing 258 yards per game. I mean, that is... there's not much, especially when you're Washington. I'm going to say, yeah, I mean, it's not looking good for that whole organization. This might just be one of those, you're going to be moving. You're leaving. You're going to move because it's just not looking good. So I have no oomph in this game. It's just Buffalo all the way.
There's a biblical saying, pride goes before the fall. And Ron Rivera, with your pride, you should have went and got Cam Newton when you got the chance to go get that dude, and you didn't. So now you have no chance. Now you're finna fall. So
you can still get him.
The dude, yeah, you can still get him. But the dude knows your freaking offense better than anybody else probably in the league. Why don't you go ahead and plug him in there to give you some chance to have some offense? Buffalo has beaten them 7 out of 8 times playing this Washington team since 1991. So there's no way that's going to change. The offense that Buffalo runs is just too dynamic. One thing I can look at, too, for Josh Allen has kind of tailed off a little bit because people start to figure you out. They're going to let you go back there and do what you were doing all last year, just gunning, slinging, and you know, having a good time. But they're not the same offense yet, but I think they will get there. But Buffalo will win this game easily.
All right. So speaking of not the same, maybe not necessarily offense, but maybe not the same team, mm-hmm. we go to Seahawks at Vikings. Seahawks are 1-1. The Vikings are 0-2. courtesy, especially of that most recent loss, courtesy of missing a field goal against the Arizona Cardinals playing here in the Valley of the Sun. They're going to be going to Seattle. Seattle is favored by 1.5, so it's an interesting game there. But your thoughts, will Minnesota leave this game 0-3? And then all of a sudden, there are all kinds of different things that come to mind in terms of the plight of the Minnesota Vikings. Your thoughts on this, Casual E?
I'm going to start leaning to where my man Sean has been saying for the last few years. He thinks that Seattle's on a decline, and at some point they're going to, you know, it's going to show up. But and
they always, are you trying to be like the people that for they, like 7 years in a row kept saying
they
that,
always that, find that, a way that to slow was about to lose. It's slow. He says it's a slow decline. But
it still works.
I like this game because when you look at the opponents, the Titans, the Cardinals beat the brakes off the Titans. Then that same Titan team goes and beats the Seahawks coming from behind in Seattle. So now you got the Vikings. They give us a free win, of course. And now they're going over to face that same team. Now you get to look at the Cardinals and go kind of see where we are gauging us against the Seahawks. And I think we're a better team. I think the Vikings will beat the brakes off of them as far as offense goes, because that defense is still horrible over there. So I'm going with the Vikings and get their first win. All I don't know if that's an upset or not, but if that's an upset, that's an upset.
It'll be an upset just in terms of it when we look at the spread.
I think they evenly match, if you ask me.
Gotcha. What you think, Sean?
Yeah, to me, as much as I want the Vikings to win, I can't bet against the Seahawks right now. It's like I said, it's a slow decline, so they're gonna go like this.
Slow decline.
The trajectory over years is like this, so it makes sense. But I think Seattle might pull this win out. It's going to be a close one. Minnesota better pray to God that it doesn't come down to a field goal. Besides, I mean, after you saw what the Vikings secondary was doing, no one likes to eat burnt toast. But
good point. Look. That's a good point. He's got to go Metcalf and Lockett. He never played good against them when he was here. So you know he's going to get torched over there.
That's true.
But it is in Vikings Stadium. That's why I say I think I'm going with them with their stadium. So I don't know.
That's fair.
So I wanted to ask this before we get into the kind of the speed round of sorts, where it's just going to be one word in terms of the team that you feel that will be victorious. But Earl, you mentioned a couple different times in terms of where the Arizona Cardinals are concerned. I think when you were on our show on the Easy Sports Talk Show, I think it was on Believe in the Arizona Cardinals. You mentioned that you thought that the Cardinals record, I think you were what? You were about 7-10.
I was 8-11. I was at
6-11. So are you still feeling that way, or have you changed, maybe adjusted that a bit because of the recency bias?
It's been changed, and the reason why it's been changed is because we saw something on film. We saw something.
Okay.
Coming into the season, you're guessing like you're going to be basing it off what you saw last year, and that's what this we were true. Doing. So, I mean, yes, I ate crow, but you know what? A lot of people did. You know what I'm saying? Because what we saw last year was like, okay, if that's the same team coming back, and especially what we saw in the preseason, I saw the same stuff. So I ended up with the same, you know, that type of team, judging from that team from last year. But now that what I've seen so far, I know we'll be in every game. How that'll come out, and it comes down to Cliff Kingsbury being able to calm himself down. Remember the clipboard?
Yes.
The shaking.
Yes.
Now it's not the clipboard.
Every time I see him hold it.
Now it's him just on the sideline pacing like this. He just do this little dance all the time. He is so nervous making play calls. And that scares the hell out of me when you go in and play those bigger teams. So I don't know. I changed it. I pulled a few games back and got them at least to 10 wins. But we'll see.
All right, so Sean, now going into the season, where was your confidence level at? And two games in, where is your confidence level in terms of for the Cardinals?
Yeah, 500 isn't a thing anymore with 17 games, but I had them around 500-ish. I'm not doing math right now. It's too late.
Give or take.
So, honestly, I came into this Tennessee game thinking this is a guaranteed L. It's going to look bad because I'm thinking on paper the defense looks good, but with Vance, is he going to be able to use them properly? They can't stop Henry. There's no way. And then they did. And the way they did, I thought, oh, we have something here.
Right.
Now we have something here. And so to me, that showed a whole different outcome. I think you're looking at a 10-win team for sure, maybe even more. Just depends on how things are going to stack up late. Obviously, you got to stay healthy. We both thought, Earl and I thought, Isabella and Hicks were going to be gone. They kept them both. Isabella isn't doing anything, but Hicks is. And you're playing, you're finding a way to play Simmons, Hicks, and Collins at the same time. That's a win. That's a big win because that's size, strength, speed, and experience all in the same middle, which used to be our kryptonite. People running down the middle like a gazelle, just burning the hell out of us. That looks fixed. So to me, like, the defense looks solid.
What about you, Jay?
Earl is 100% right. This all goes as far as Cliff lets it go.
Yep.
that's a lot of pressure there. So let's get to the one word. So the rapid fire, the one word. So I'll give you the matchup, and you just tell me who you think is going to win. So we're going to start with you first, Casual E, and then so Jets at Broncos.
Broncos, Teddy B, balling.
Teddy Two Gloves. What you got, Sean?
Yeah, Teddy Two Gloves. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Falcons at Giants. Sean, who you got?
Oh, I said the Giants.
Okay. And what you got, Casual E?
Giants.
Bengals at Steelers. Mm. We'll go with you again. Sean, who you got?
Yeah, no Vontez, so Steelers. You said one word. I'm trying to keep it short.
No, you good. You good. What you got, Casual E?
Steelers would win this one just on GP.
All right. Saints at Patriots. Will we be eating W's today? Ooh. What you got, Casual E?
I'm going Patriots, man.
Sean?
Yeah, no W's, no crab legs, no Patriots all the way.
You're going to be feeding the other team them picks, though.
And another one.
And another one. Bears at Browns, Casual E.
Oh, wow. I got to go with the Browns. Offense too dynamic.
And Sean?
Believe land.
Colts at Titans, Sean.
Yeah, that's going to be Titans big time.
Ooh, wow. Okay. Yeah, the Colts going to be 0-3. Yeah.
Ooh. That's all bad. Ravens at Lions. We got you. Let's go with you, Casual E.
Ravens, of course.
Okay. What you got, Sean?
Yeah, no pity for that kitty.
Oh, goodness gracious. So we have come to the end of another wonderful, wonderful episode. It feels good to be back in the swing again. The Neutral Zone, we do this every week at this particular time, KSRNAZ.com. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel and tell a friend to tell a friend. You're the one and only Casual E. The one and only Sean McConnell, who has the heart that's big as can be.
Oh, that's man. The man right there.
He's got a big heart. And our brother that is missing today, who is doing press stuff. When I see him, I'm gonna tell him his feet stank. The one and only Ed Easy Smith. And I am Javon J. Love Adams. Again, make sure you tell a friend and tell a friend. And I see that the one and only Casual E has been putting up a lot more content. I see him putting out articles and stuff. He out there writing. He out there taking pictures of when he's at the stadium over with Arizona State, doing all that stuff, man. Yeah, and I'm sure they asking where J Love at. No, they ain't even asking that. But so until we see y'all again next time, we want to thank y'all for hanging out with us for about an hour. We'll see y'all next time.
Peace out. All right, we clear.
Cool.
I forgot to hit the button.
Nah, your sound a whole lot better than mine, dude. A whole lot better.
When I did the intro, it was cranked up so loud. Literally, this one was rattling like this off my ear. I was like,
Hey, that was good. I liked the new thing and being incorporated with it. That was pretty good. I liked that.
I was trying to type up your questions and over-unders, too, so that the two guys that were, like, really commenting on everything could, like, go with it. Yeah. And they were making every pick as we were.
They sure were.
Okay, cool. We had a lot of people that were...
Coming and going, but we got guys that hung around the whole show. A couple of guys took the whole show out and did their picks.
Yeah, 91 comments.
A lot of them
were mine, but yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah, the way that you did that this week with the over under, Earl. Yeah, do that. Yeah, send that to me, and I'll kind of pick and choose. It doesn't have to be as much. I mean,
yeah, I can
make a stretch, but it's all good.
Yeah, I didn't know what to put on. I was just putting anything enough. On there. I was about to have on there how many penalties we gonna have before halftime.
It's all good to me. It don't matter. It's all good to me. So it always helps. So
right. Cool.
I like that rapid fire because it allows to be able to flesh out more conversation about some of the other games and not to feel so so time
and it helps you not having to go do time and studying and looking at all this every last game, because I knew that's where I was struggling with the last few years, of having to do every game and find stats and find this and find that. So.
Yeah, so I'll try to get those games, try to do it like I was doing it last season as well, try to by Tuesday, Wednesday
to have the
breakdown and stuff. So,
all good. Appreciate
great
it.
Stuff, yeah.
Good job,
good
man.
Good stuff, yeah.
Appreciate it.
All right, B.
All right.
All good.
See you guys.
All right,
man. Peace
out. Peace.
See you. And if I could please have the audio when you have a chance to post it tomorrow.
All right, bro. I'm going to actually try to send it tonight. But cool. All right, man. Good job, man. You was in full swing tonight. Crazy.
Yeah. Had to. It's where we have the most fun. So I'm going to screw around.
Right, right. All right, bro. Take care. All right, dude. Tell the wife and the kids I said hello. And, man, little Sadie getting big as hell. I didn't even recognize her on that picture when she's at the soccer field. Like, she already playing soccer. I was like, damn, she is grown up already. That's like, she scored two
goals. Elijah scored four goals in his eight-year-old. Yeah. It's like, calm down.
I said congratulations.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
All right, man. Take care.
All right. See you.